our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. If you would find that chapter, please, Matthew chapter 20. And the parable that we're preaching from today is from verses 1 through 16. But it's the time is quick, is passing. I don't want to read all of these verses. I was speaking recently in a youth conference with Charlie Clark III, Brother Clark from Outen in Solid Rock Baptist Church in Atco, New Jersey. And I was preaching out of 1 Samuel 15. And he announced his text. He was preaching first. I was following him. He announced his text in 1 Samuel 14. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, he's in 14. He read the entire 14th chapter, which is like 50-something verses. I was afraid he was going to go right into chapter 15 and just keep on going all the way through, mess up the message. But anyway, he stopped. I won't take the time to read all this passage. We'll look at several verses through it this morning. So what we're going to do is read one verse. Let's stand together. We're going to read the first verse and have our special and jump into the message after the song. All right? Now, this is what the Word of God says. And this is Jesus teaching. And he says here in verse 1, chapter 20, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." And on down through verse 16 here is the parable of the householder. And that's what we're going to preach about this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for your book. I pray that you'll help our eyes to be open today, that we might behold wondrous things from these great verses. Speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for these folks, our guests, our visitors, members. Lord, I pray that you'll please bless this service with your power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When I shall reach that glorious city way above,
when I its
wondrous beauty shall see, if you shall see,
will I find
those I let you love, Savior and love.
Singing. That goes along a little bit with the message that I'll bring this morning from this passage. And verse number 1 is going to be our jumping off verse, and we go down through here. "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder." And I want to speak today on the subject, God is a householder. God is a householder. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for the good music today. We've enjoyed the old hymns. We've enjoyed the good song just now. Would there be someone up there waiting for us that we should help to, Lord, share the gospel with, witness to? Thank you, Lord, for the gospel that was shared this week through the means of Vacation Bible School, the gospel that was shared this week through the visitation efforts and the missionaries around the globe. Father, help us to stay busy in the field till Jesus comes. Help us to learn something from this message, this parable, that will challenge our hearts in these days. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And amen. We've been on just a short series here. I didn't intend for it to happen. It's just kind of developed. 2 weeks ago, we learned about God the husbandman. Last Sunday, we learned about God the potter. This morning, we're going to learn, hopefully, about God the householder. God wears many hats, and it's not difficult for Him to do so. In fact, I don't believe He even breaks a sweat handling all the different aspects of each hat He wears. I'll promise you that those of us who helped in Vacation Bible School broke a sweat with one hat this week. Amen. Just the hat of Vacation Bible School. But God never breaks a sweat handling all the different aspects of each hat that He wears. Now, you might say, well, is there much difference between a husbandman and a householder? There is a little difference between the word householder and the word husbandman. A husbandman is specifically a farmer. All right, so when we looked at that subject a couple of Sundays ago, we're talking about God in the agricultural business, if you will, the business of agriculture. Householder is a tad bit different. Householder is simply the head of a family, the master of the house. Now, he might own farmland or livestock or vineyards or orchards, whatever it may be. He's the head of the house. He's the master of the family business. The business may have nothing to do with agriculture. It may have something altogether different, but he is the head of it. So the householder, there's a slight difference between householder and husbandman. Now, the householder in this parable is none other, of course, than God the Father. God is the householder in this parable. Now, the interpretation of this parable involves God's relationship with the nation of Israel and His coming relationship with the Gentiles when this was taught by Jesus Christ. Understand that. He's in His earthly ministry. At the time of this teaching, He had not yet gone to the cross. He had not yet died. He had not yet been buried. He had not yet risen from the dead. The gospel had not yet gone to the Gentiles when He taught this parable. So it talks about God's relationship with Israel, and then His coming relationship with the Gentiles. This parable looks ahead to that time when God would send the gospel to the Gentiles. Thank the Lord, Jesus did die. He was buried. He did rise again. And thank God that the gospel has gone to the Gentiles. Amen. It reached me, and it reached many of you. Amen. And if it hasn't reached you yet, it can, because the gospel is good for all people. Romans chapter 10 tells us that there is no difference, none whatsoever. Everybody in this dispensation, this time right now that we're living in, Jew or Gentile, male or female, red, brown, yellow, black or white, doesn't matter what nationality, everybody comes to salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is accomplished by faith, repentance and faith. It's not accomplished by some church ritual. It's not accomplished by some church ordinance. It is accomplished by simply trusting by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Repenting of the fact that you're a sinner, you can't get yourself to heaven, and trusting completely, wholeheartedly in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And friend, if you'll do that, the grace of God will come to your heart. Amen. And birth you into the family of God, make you a child of God, and heaven will be your eternal home. Amen. So, Jesus did go to the cross. He did die. He was buried. He did rise again. And thank God the gospel message came to you and me. Now, that's the interpretation. And I didn't even get, all I did was touch the hem of the garment there. That's a lot in this thing as far as the interpretation. Now, we can rightly take this parable and learn some general and practical truths that pertain to God being a householder, the head of a family business, okay? God is the householder, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder. Let me talk a little bit out of this passage about God the householder. Number one, the householder is looking for laborers. He's looking for laborers. Look at verse number one. The Bible says He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into His vineyard. The Jewish morning began at 6 a.m. All right, so when He went out early in the morning, He went out at the 6 o'clock hour in the morning to search for laborers. But that's not all. Look at verse number 3. And He went out about the third hour. So we start at 6 a.m. 3 hours later, it is now what? 9 a.m. He goes out at 9 a.m. and he looks for laborers. And that's not all. He goes at the third hour and saw others standing. Look at verse number 5. And again, he went out about the sixth hour. So he started at 6 a.m. He went out at 6 a.m. He went out at 9 a.m. And then 6 hours from the first is now noon. All right, so now he's out at noon, sixth hour, and the ninth hour. So now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he went out at 6, then he went out at 9, then he went out at noon, then he went out at 3. Look at verse number 6. And about the 11th hour he went out. If we start at 6 a.m. and go 11 hours, it's now what time? 5 p.m. All right, 5 o'clock in the evening or the afternoon. So here he is. He started at 6 a.m., got 12 hours of day left. Went out at 9 a.m., got 9 hours of day left. Went out at 6 a.m., got 6 hours of day left. Went out at 3 p.m., got 3 hours of day left. Went out at 5 p.m., got 1 hour of day left. Watch it. From the beginning of the day until the end of the day, the householder was looking for laborers. From beginning to end, his burden never changed. He had a big vineyard, and the vineyard was obviously very productive, and his great burden was to get laborers into his vineyard all day long. Maybe he had some accounting, some books to work on. Maybe he had some transactions to certify. Maybe he had some other business to take care of. But there's something that was permeating his heart from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m., and that moved him to go out at 6 and 9 and 12 and 3 and 5. Looking for laborers. He wanted laborers. God is looking for laborers. Over and over again in several passages throughout the Bible, God makes it clear that there is nothing wrong with the field. There's nothing wrong with the vineyard. There's nothing wrong with the orchard. The problem has always been a lack of laborers. Always been. And all kinds of work goes on in God's field. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Planting and cultivating and dressing and keeping. But there's nothing wrong with the field. There's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with the harvest. Nothing wrong with the harvest. The harvest, look, the harvest can be broken up into three phases. The Bible talks about a three-phase harvest. The Bible talks about the first fruits. And then the Bible talks about the main harvest. And then the Bible talks about the gleanings. You say, I don't understand all that. If you've ever had a garden, you understand the first fruits, the main harvest, and the gleanings. The first fruits is what some of us that have a garden experienced maybe this week or the week before or 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. You planted some seeds or some plants in late April or May or maybe the end of May. And you went out and here was all these tomatoes on the vines. There was one that was ripe. And you took that one tomato in. See, I've got mine in late. And this week I went and got 3 ripe tomatoes. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of green tomatoes out there in the garden. There were 3 ripe ones this week. I pulled, you know what those were? Those were the first fruits. The first fruits. I pulled those in. Now, pretty soon, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the main harvest. And that is a blessing because my dad and mom are coming for 2 weeks in August. And my wife is worried, what are we going to do for 2 weeks with your parents? And I said, the garden is going to be coming in like fury. And my mother can't stand to waste as much as a tomato that big around. So we're going to put her to good use. Amen. Yes, we are. It'll be the main harvest. I've had seasons where I took 5 5-gallon buckets to the garden and filled up 5 5-gallon buckets full of tomatoes. That's a heap of harvest. But that's the main harvest. But that won't go on forever, will it? That'll end. And then pretty soon I'll go back out there. You know what it'll be? It'll be the gleanings. Just one here, one there, a couple of ripe tomatoes here, a couple of ripe, a couple of full mature beans over here, a couple of cucumbers mature. And there's nothing wrong with the harvest. Somewhere in this great big world, you see, we're tempted to judge everything by America. But when God looks at the world, friend, He doesn't always see America first. Now, I'm an American. And I look at it that way like you do. But God doesn't just solely, monopoly. God, Americans don't have a monopoly on God. When God looks down at the world, He sees the world, okay? And somewhere in God's great big world, everything is fine with the field. I mean, the field needs to be planted. The field needs to be plowed. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be dressed. It needs to be kept. And somewhere in the world, the harvest is going on. Somewhere it's the first fruits. Somewhere it's the main harvest. Somewhere it's the gleanings. But nothing is wrong with the field. The problem has always been a lack of laborers for 12 hours. this householder's burden was more laborers. And listen, friend, the Lord's burden remains the same today. He is looking for laborers. I'm going to say this and move on after a couple more statements. God did not save us so we could have a fire escape from hell. Now listen, folks, your salvation is not just a life insurance policy, a fire insurance policy to keep you out of hell. Now, salvation does keep us out of hell. Thank God. Amen. And I think that's one of the reasons when those disciples went out in Luke chapter 10 and they came back rejoicing because of the great results they saw. And Jesus said, you know, that's wonderful, fellas, but don't ever forget to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Brother, that's one thing that salvation does for you. It is life. It's fire insurance. You'll never have to go to hell and suffer punishment forever and ever and ever. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. But friend, that's not all that salvation is. He saved us to serve. He saved us to labor. He saved us to work. Now, obviously, God has the same problem among His people that business owners have today. And that they business owners will tell you they have a hard time finding people who are willing to work. Amen. If they can just get them to show up, that's a blessing. And then if they can get them to be half productive, 50% productive, that's a blessing. But this was the problem. The householder was looking for laborers. I need more laborers, more laborers. Folks, the fact that he was out at 5 p.m., now watch it, with only 1 hour in the day left. Are you listening? Tells us, it reminds me of what Jesus said when he said this, occupy till I come. Pastor, when are you going to get off? Because about every 5 or 6 weeks or 7 weeks, it seems like you say something from the pulpit about God saved us to serve and God wants us to labor. When are you going to stop doing that? When evening comes. And evening hasn't come yet because the householder was out with 1 hour of daylight left looking for laborers. That's the great need. Listen, we were out visiting yesterday, had a wonderful time following up on VBS, families who drove their kids in, okay, who saw the signs and drove their kids in and met some wonderful people who Bill Smith knows that go to Gospel Assembly out here and such blessed, had just a good time visiting with those people, Christian folks, and they drove their kids in. Of course, those kids have a church that they go to and so forth and so on. And so then, but then some of the kids, their parents brought them in and they don't have a church to go to on Sunday. They're not going anywhere. So this morning, I hope that the buses made some stops. And we lined a couple of stops up, one for Brother Johnson, one for Brother Caleb, to come on in to church on Sunday. We were out visiting. We'd made a visit. I think we had just visited one of the people from Gospel Assembly over here, right off of 45 over here. And got in the car. We're coming around the corner. And boy, there they were. I mean, the husband and the wife. I suppose it's the husband and the wife, man and woman together. And they were dressed nice. And the woman had a nice dress on, looked like a, you know, appropriately dressed couple, but they had the black satchel. And boy, my heart sank. My heart sank. And I thought, there's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I thought, Lord, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. What was it yesterday? 92, 93 degrees. And there they were, and they were going into a house. We rounded the corner and came down another street over there. And I saw two more men on the porch. And I thought, oh, no, until I looked. Glory to God, those weren't Jehovah false witnesses. That's Jehovah's true witnesses. There's Tom Griffey and Larry Kujila out there knocking doors and going down the street and passing. I thought, pray. You talk about blessing my heart. You talk about stirring my... This message is already on paper when that happened, so it just gave me a good illustration this morning. Amen. And I thought, praise God, amen. There are towns in this country where the JWs have a monopoly on the business of knocking on doors. But bless the Lord, I'm glad they don't have a monopoly on that in this town. Amen. I'm glad that throughout the week there are people that go out and visit and knock doors. And these two men were properly dressed and looking sharp, dress shirt and dress slacks, looking good out there representing the Lord and Faith Baptist Church with the true gospel witness. I thought, praise God, friend, that is a blessing. They got competition in this town. May it always be that way. Amen. And if we're the right kind of church, it will be that way. Because he was out at 5 p.m. looking for laborers. See, the little idea of, hey, that man Jesus is coming soon. Let's just circle the wagon and fold our tents and hold on to the end. I don't find that in Scripture. I don't find that. I find that the householder was out looking at 5 o'clock for labor. I know there's only an hour left. But he said, I need laborers for this last hour. The householder is looking for laborers. Number two, let me hasten to say this morning that the householder needs laborers for his vineyard. All down through this passage, in verse 1, his vineyard. In verse 2, his vineyard. In verse 3, the vineyard. In verse 4, the vineyard. In verse 7, the vineyard. Verse 8, the vineyard. The householder's vineyard, his vineyard, was in need of laborers. Let me ask you a question today. Where and how are you laboring in God's vineyards? Now listen, there are all kinds of different jobs in God's vineyard. All kinds. All kinds. And God needs a laborer for each one of those positions. It is obvious, people, that these folks who were standing at the marketplace when the householder went to the marketplace, it's obvious that they weren't too old to labor, they weren't too young to labor, they weren't mentally handicapped. They could go out. And unless a Christian is too young or too old or mentally handicapped, there is a place to labor. You know, there comes a time when the physical body won't allow it. And I'm so glad that I look out over this congregation and I see gray-haired saints. I mean, saints that are up in years, in their 70s and now 80 and past 80. You know what? Sometimes the body gives up the energy and begins to break down, and there's difficulty moving. You know, and God understands all that. Listen, God's not a hard taskmaster. He's not a hard taskmaster. But unless you're too old or too young or mentally handicapped, there's a place for you, God's vineyard. There's a place for you. There's a place for all people to labor in His vineyard. So many of you folks labored in God's vineyard this past week through Vacation Bible School. That's not the only way, but that is a way. And what a blessing. What a great job Vacation Bible School is in God's vineyard, bringing kids to hear the gospel message. I couldn't help but think I was out of town Monday and Tuesday doing that class, you know, that college, but I couldn't help but think as I was here on Wednesday night, drove the bus just one way Wednesday night, one night, and then preached on Thursday night here, this auditorium. I mean, these two sections were filled, the girls' section almost all the way to the back, and the boys' section into the first or second pew there under the balcony, and a scattering of girls over here, and a scattering of boys over here, all boys and girls, our kids, bus kids. I mean, it was a blessing. And I couldn't help but think about the first funeral that we had in this auditorium when we opened it in the year 2001. And in June or July, we hadn't been in here, I don't guess, 6 or 8 weeks before down in Royal Estates, they had a fire. And two of the girls who used to ride the bus into our church were burned in the fire. And the first funeral we had here was two children's caskets, white caskets, and brokenhearted family members. But both those girls had been saved coming on the bus to the church here. And I thought about, my mind went back to Iowa, and the first time I saw a child die. Oh, boy, it'll get you. And little Terry Smith, 6 years of age, and she was in a fire and burned over 90% of her body, and went to the hospital to see her. Her mother was a modern-day woman of Samaria, had been married 5 times, and was living with a sixth man, with a different man now, number 6. And there the little thing was in the bed and on life support and, you know, and all that. Finally, they took it off and she passed away. But man, we went through the records there at the church. Mary Bender, the secretary, Brother Capps, went through the records there at Marion Avenue Baptist Church and found a little Terry Smith's note, a decision form where 4 months earlier she'd come and trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Well, I took that note to our bus meeting and I talked about those guys that run those buses and visit those kids. And you know, your name may never be in lights. Your name may never be known outside of Washington, Iowa. But there's a little life, an eternal soul in heaven right now because somebody cared about this girl. What a great, great, what a great job in God's vineyard. And there are lots of other ways, not just Vacation Bible School, but so many different ways. And not just with kids. So many different jobs, so many different labor, so many different opportunities. Laboring in His vineyard is a wonderful thing. It is enjoyable work. You know, I was thinking about this week, as I was thinking about this thing. Go out to the vineyard, householder. What do you do out there? What do you need to plow and plant and cultivate and dress and keep, dress and keep, dress and keep, dress, where? Dress and keep. Isn't that what God told Adam to do? dress and keep the garden. So going out to the vineyard or the field to dress and keep it is paradise work. Isn't it? Dress and keep it, that's paradise work. That's enjoyable work. For Adam, it was enjoyable. It's an enjoyable thing to labor in God's vineyard. It's not a have-to, friend. It's a get-to. It's not a, okay, uncle, I will. It's a, God, where can I do it? Where can I go? Where can I go? You think about this. When the prodigal son left his father's house to go labor in the world, he ended up feeding swine. You ever fed swine? Now, when I lived in Iowa for those 10 years, I got introduced to the world of agriculture, and I got to help my father-in-law on his farm, throughout the years, here off and on. And I'll promise you, friend, I have fed swine, and I have worked in the field. And I will work in the field 100 times before I'll feed swine. You ever fed swine? That's the nastiest job you ever got. Look, it does not... You're not out there 30 seconds before that smell is in your hair, it's in your skin, it's on your clothes, it's on your shoes. I don't care if you just go out and look at, yep, the pigs are all doing fine. Turn around and go into the house. We know where you've been. And when that prodigal son left to go work in the devil's vineyard, left the father's house, he ended up feeding swine. I'll tell you what, brother. I know that working in the vineyard is not easy. I know laboring for the Lord is work. But I'll tell you what, compared to feeding swine, it is enjoyable work. Amen. Yes, it is. So the laborer, the householder, is looking for laborers for his vineyard. Let me say number three this morning. Let me say number three. The householder will be debtor to no man. He'll be debtor to no man. Look at verse number 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. All the laborers got paid. Some worked 12 hours, some worked 9, some worked 6, some worked 3, some only worked for 1. But they all got paid. One songwriter wrote it this way, every work for Jesus will be blessed. And it will. And can I tell you this morning that God is not a cheater? God's not a cheater. I was thinking about James chapter 5, verse number 4. Don't turn to it. But God spoke to the business owners, householders, husbandmen, those men that had laborers. And He told those men, He said, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped, listen to this, are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. All you men out there, he's saying, all you men out there who kept back by fraud what your laborers rightly earned, I know about that. See, God's not a cheat. Brother Ross, I didn't even think about you being here. When Ben was in college down there, he worked for a window cleaning man. Pretty good deal. I think the man charged $40 an hour for clean windows. And Ben subcontracted to him for 50% of that. So Ben worked for $20 an hour. That's pretty good money. That's real good money. I'm looking for some windows to wash. Amen. I mean, that's pretty good money. Man, that's good money. But do you know that man stole, I don't know, $700,000, $800,000, almost $1,000 of rightly earned wages that Ben earned. Rightly earned. He told him, he said, on the day of the wedding, when he and Ashley got married, August, he said, I'm coming. Ben worked all week. He said, I'm coming to your wedding. He said, what I'll do, I'll bring your pay and I'll bring all of it. Bring all that I owe you. He owed him, you know, like $1,800. I forget what it was. He said, I have it all for you in an envelope. And so, sure enough, they got married, and he even introduced himself to me and shook hands with me. And then sometime during the wedding, he was able to get to Ben and slip him the envelope. Later on, I asked Ben, I said, did your man pay you $1,800, whatever it was? He said, well, it was $700 in there. $700. I said, he kept it back. Cheated. God is not a cheater. Nobody will ever be able to point the finger in the face of God and said, you owe me. Nobody will ever be able to do that, friend, because God pays everybody. Some might say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I've been paid yet. Well, look at verse number 8 says. Verse number 8 says, so when even was come. when the evening came, that meant the day was over. The day was over. Hey, friend, one of these days, evening is coming. And when it does, it will be pay time. Evening is not over yet. Can I say to us who have learned a little bit about laboring in God's vineyard that there's a lot of fringe benefits that go along before payday ever comes? A lot of fringe benefits. You know the worst thing in the world to do if you're working a job? Worst thing in the world to do is to watch the clock. You ever watch the clock? Man, I've watched the clock. You know, you get off at, what, 5:30, you know, so 4:45, you're ready to go. You look at the clock and it's 4:45. You think to yourself, man, 45 more minutes. So you work, you know, 10 or 11 minutes, look back at the clock, it's 4:47. What? And you work another 10 minutes, you know, try to forget about it, look back at the clock and it's 4:50. And the more you watch the clock, the slower that hand moves. And just almost until it stops. You know what that says? Hey, quit watching the clock. Look, one of these days, Jesus is going to come. There's a lot of God's people right now that are clock watching. That's how they're spending their time. I think He's coming. I believe He's coming next month. I believe He's coming 6 months from now. I believe He's coming next year. And this. And I believe. Quit watching the clock. When He comes, we'll all know it. When 5 o'clock, when 5:30 comes and the bell goes off, everybody knows it's quitting time. And one of these days, our household, Jesus, He's going to come about halfway down in the sky and the clouds are going to part. And He's going to say, come up hither, and the trump of God is going to sound. You know what? We won't miss any of that. The final bell will ring, friend. It'll be the end of the day. And then we'll go and get reward. And won't that be a blessing? That's going to happen, friend. Just quit watching the clock. Because the more you watch the clock, the slower the time moves. When will this be over? When will this stop? When will this be over? When will Pastor Angel quit talking about the need for laborers? When will this end? When will this end? Quit watching the clock! He's coming. He's coming. By the way, when pay time came here, those who worked 1 hour received the same pay as those who worked 12 hours. There's a whole lot of preaching I could do about that right now, but I'm not going to get into all that. Let me just say this. The well done, thou good and faithful servant, can be heard by those who jump in with only a little time left. You say, well, so, you know, if it's 5 p.m. and it's so close till quitting time, why should I get started now? Because you'll hear the same thing that those who've been laboring for 12 hours will hear. The same thing. Well, if there's such a short time left before Jesus comes, why should I jump into church? Why should I jump into serving God? Why should I jump into being a laborer in God's vineyard? Because the pay is the same. If you work 60 minutes or 30 minutes, or if you work for 12 hours in God's great economy, everybody who jumps in can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And by the way, you know what? Those first people, read the parable, the ones who were working for 12 hours, and they got the same pay as the ones that were working for 1 hour, they murmured. They had to be Baptists. They had to be Baptists. Amen. But you know what I suggest to us, friend? I'm about ready to wrap this up. Listen, they should have been happy. They should have been. They got what they were promised. And what should have mattered to them was not how much everybody got. What should have mattered to them was more work got accomplished in God's field. More work got done. Hey, look, I know I labored for 12 hours. He only labored one, and we got the same pay. So what? Doesn't matter. More work got accomplished in that last hour because there was 50 of us instead of 45. You understand what I'm saying this morning? I'm just saying, friend, look, forget all this nonsense of measuring ourselves among ourselves and comparing ourselves among ourselves. This work is too great. The vineyard is too full. It's too productive. The harvest is fine. Nothing wrong with the harvest. It's either first fruits, main harvest, or gleanings. It's been that way since the beginning of time. And God still needs laborers. The householder is still looking for laborers to go to work in His vineyard. And everybody that works gets paid. Amen. When the even comes. When the even comes. Now, I'm going to finish with this and wrap it up. Let me just say, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, okay? Sometimes I fear about a message like this because if I'm talking to somebody who's not saved and I'm talking about working for God, well, that's what I got to do. I got to work for God so I can go to heaven someday. This message has nothing to do with going to heaven. This message has everything to do with what happens to heaven when I get there. What happens in heaven when I get there? If you're not saved, you can't work your way to heaven. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care if you work your fingernails till they are almost gone. And you work and work and work and labor in God's vineyard in hopes of hearing, come into heaven. That'll never happen. There's one way to heaven, as I said earlier. It's through the shed blood and death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not worked for, that's received. Because it's a gift. If you've never received the free gift of salvation that's in Jesus Christ, forget about working. Come to Christ for salvation. Be saved. That's the number one need. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning to the simple message on God is a householder. All right, let me ask you a few questions with our heads bowed and eyes closed today. No one looking around, please. Now, let me ask this, since I just talked about this. Maybe there's somebody here that would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I thought going to heaven was the result of observing some church ritual. I thought going to heaven was the result of work. You say, no, it's not what I say, friends, what the Bible says. The Bible says it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation's free. All you do is receive it by faith. And the grace of God comes into your life, makes you a child of God. I wonder how many in this room this morning, let me ask you to do one thing, just be honest. Be honest before God. I wonder how many in this room today would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you testify to that by raising your hand, please, this morning where you sit? And just be honest, I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand just then. I don't know for certain that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Somebody like that? Just raise it up. Put it right back down. Let me see it just for a second so I can pray for you. Front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me, all right? If there's somebody here this morning, you've been saved and never baptized since you've been saved. You've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. The first step of obedience after getting saved is being baptized. Maybe somebody's talked to you about it, given you some literature about it. You read it. Maybe you don't know much about it, but you're interested in obeying Christ in baptism. Who would say, Brother Angel, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? Put it in the air. Let me just pray for you. Anybody like that? I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Somebody like that today? All right? Now let me say this to all of us who are saved then. God's looking for laborers, the householder. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those who labored this week. And I understand work schedules don't permit everybody to labor in vacation Bible school. That's not what I'm saying today. I'm just saying thank you for those that did. Thank you for those who've entered into the harvest field in some way or the other. It's not always with children. Maybe it's with adults. Not always out on organized soul winning visitation. There are other ways. But if you've entered into the harvest, if you've entered into the field as a laborer, that's what God needs. That's what He wants. And that's what He'll reward someday. Pastor, I don't feel like I've entered into the field at the call of God. I haven't found my place of service yet in God's great work. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe not about that. Maybe in another specific way. God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you raise your hand and pray for you, please, when I get done here? All right, I see several hands. God bless you. Amen. I appreciate that. Now, Christian, let's not clock watch. Let's not clock watch. All right? 5 p.m., he went out. Jesus said, occupy till I come. We got to keep at it until the clock hits 6 p.m. And then the day will be done. Life's day will soon be over. It'll be over. But let's not clock watch. Let's keep at it until 6 p.m. comes. Father, would you please bless this church? Would you please bless these folks? Lord, I know I'm preaching to the choir in a great way this morning. There are so many involved in the vineyard, in the labor that's out in the world. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of pastoring such a church. God, I know that once in a while, maybe the emphasis can get a little redundant or monotonous. But Lord, this is what you were looking for at 5 p.m. You were looking for laborers. So help us to stay at it. Lord, sweat or cold, hot or cold as the year goes by. And times of ease and times of difficulty. Help us not to watch the clock. Help us not to be worried about what somebody else is earning. Just help us to stay busy in the field for you. Lord, I pray for any this morning who are not saved or not baptized, that you'll speak to their hearts in a special way. and we'll thank you for it. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to have an invitation as the ladies start to play the instruments. Would you step out and come this morning? God spoke to your heart. If you need to be saved, let me encourage you to come right now. And one of these men can give you to somebody who will show you how to be saved this morning. That's so critical. Would you come? Do you need to be baptized? Father, Lord, in believer's baptism, you know you've been saved. But you've not taken that first step of obedience. Would you come? Call the Lord in believer's baptism. Or at least learn about it. Let somebody talk to you about that. While we wait, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. While we wait. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. So many jobs, so many positions, so many available places. What a joy to work in the field as opposed to being this way. You come this morning as God speaks to your heart. While we pray.